You know what? It is good to be home. It sure is. You know, we love seeing family over the holidays and everything. But when we got home, we basically fell out of the truck and we got in the house and we were so, so happy to be here. And I tell you what, it's so sweet to be with you all this morning. We were 2 weeks without being in a part of our church family. And I'll tell you what, that is hard. I really don't know how people who take month-long vacations away from their church family can do it. We missed you. And I just want to give a thanks to Steve and to Tim Johnson for covering. And thank you guys. But so good to be home. And so with the new year, we're going to start off in a new book of the Bible, small one, but it's packed jam full of stuff. And so if you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Never preached from expositorially all the way through 1 Peter. So this is a new experience for me. I've preached through lots of books before, but 1 Peter is not one of them. But from what I gather, when we look at the book of 1 Peter, Peter really is describing what it's like to be out in the thick of it, in the world where things happen, bad things happen, things get rough, and he tells us to have joy anyway. He tells us that we're still supposed to put on Christ anyway. He tells us that we're still to pursue him anyway. That's really, really important to this. And so, if you will, read with me the first 12 verses. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the full foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the holy angels long to look. Not holy angels, just says angels. That's quite a mouthful there. I mean, to unpack all this stuff, we're going to do that rather quickly today, but there you could probably study for hours and hours and hours and hours and not make it through what we just read. It's so pregnant. So when we look at this passage in 1 Peter, it's a letter. It's written to a certain group of people for a certain purpose. Okay, and so we're going to look at that. It says here, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter he's playing to his apostleship. Okay, he says, hey, I am one of those guys that Jesus himself picked out. And when he, after being his disciple, Jesus left, he says, I am an apostle. I am one of the pillars of the church. I am writing this to you. I have a message to speak from Christ to you. To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood. Now, what he says here, he's writing to a certain group of people. And the funny thing is, when people look at this, they're saying, oh, he's writing to a mostly Gentile church. And others are like, no, he's writing to mostly a Jewish church. What is it? Doesn't matter, does it? Because he says here, I'm writing to elect exiles. Now, he's specifically writing to believers who are exiles, who are outside of, quote unquote, the homeland. All right? And he's emphasizing, he's kind of trying to draw a comparison with when the nation of Israel was exiled from their own land in 722 and 586 BC during the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities. He says, you are not where you are going to end up. You are outside of your inheritance. You are not home. Do you know what that means? Now, I say, when I come back, it's good to be home. And you know, it's really nice to be here because, you know, we fit in here. Or at least I feel like I do. I may not. I'll let you be the judge of that. But when you're at a church, and remember, the church is people. When you're with these people that believe like you do, they believe in the grace of God given through the Scriptures, and the Scriptures are accurate, able to tell us what the will of God is, able to tell us what's good. They're strong and alive and powerful. That's amazing. But you know what? On Monday morning when you're at your job, or Tuesday afternoon when you're at work, or out around the town running errands, guess what? You're Christians. You don't fit into this world. It's just the sad truth about it. Anybody ever feel like that? You just don't quite fit in? I'm different. Yeah, you can raise your hand. It's okay. You can speak up if you want. I'll give you that permission. But as Christians, we are something completely different. We are living in a place that is not living according to the same values that we have. It's not pushing the same agenda that we're trying to follow as Christians. We live in a place where we just don't fit in. It's like Dennis the Menace. You know Dennis the Menace when he tries to put puzzles together? You ever seen those? I remember reading Dennis the Menace once, and he was there with Margaret, and they were putting together this puzzle, and he says, I want to go out inside to play. And she said, not until we finish the puzzle. And he said, fine. Thump, thump, thump. There, it's finished. Let's go. It wasn't finished. But, you know, it's like the round peg in a square hole, or the square peg in a round hole, whatever it is. Just don't fit, do we? Because our purpose is something different. And he's writing to people. He says, the elect exiles, those who are not fitting into where they're supposed to be. They're not home yet. I love this. He gives these places, mostly they're in Asia. He says, according to the foreknowledge of God and the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood. He's telling us about us and our mission, our purposes in life. We're elect exiles out in the world. He says, according to the foreknowledge of God. Okay? God knows who we are. He loves who we are. Okay? To foreknow, the idea behind to know is carries with it this idea of love, to know beforehand, to have this relationship beforehand. And when you think about, okay, starting to get a little big picture here, when you start to think about God and who he is in his omnipresence, he exists outside of time and reacts within time and all that kind of wonderful, blow your mind type of stuff. He knows us. He has that, wants that relationship with us as Christians, okay? He says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit. Our purpose is that we are set apart, okay? As exiles in this world, we are set apart. We are set apart for a specific purpose. God wants us to do what? Love him and love other people. He wants us to make disciples. He wants us to be out being, as we talked about in Sunday school, lights on a hill, the salt of the earth. That is what we're supposed to be out doing. Being what Christ tells us to be in front of other people so they all have a chance to know him. Talking about who Jesus is to other people so they will have a chance to know who he is. In the sanctification of the Spirit, set apart for obedience to Christ. Okay? So for obedience. So in the sanctification of the Spirit working in our lives has set us apart so that we obey, so that we follow what God wants us to do. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? We don't like that per se, but the commandments are love God, love people. Everything else is bottled up into those two commands. Love God, love people. We're to be different. That's why we don't fit in. We carry the love of God with us. And then he says, and for the sprinkling with his blood. So we're set apart for a certain purpose through the sanctification of the Spirit so that we obey. Okay? We do what God wants us to, and then he says, and for the sprinkling of his blood. Now, what in the world does that mean? What idea should that be bringing up to the forefront of our mind? And this is why I personally believe that Peter's writing to more Jews than Gentiles, but it doesn't really matter because they're Christians, okay? They have a knowledge of the sacrificial system, because when you start talking about sprinkling blood, that should bring up lights and flags, say, hey, now we're thinking about something else. We're thinking about the law. We're thinking about what it was, the purposes of the law. And so, do you remember when you read through the law what the sprinkling of the blood was for? Do you remember what it's for? Specifically, Hebrews tells us that the sprinkling of the blood over the altar was for cleansing, but it was a covering. So that what? So that a holy God could dwell with an unholy people. A holy God could dwell with an unholy people. And so here when he's talking about the sprinkling of his blood, he's talking about making us in the image of Christ, okay? Sprinkling us, cleansing us, and he's talking about the fellowship that we have with Christ. That is our purpose. He gets all that done in the first two verses here. He gives us this say, hey, this is your focus, this is your purpose, Christian. As elect exiles in this world where you don't fit in. You know, it means that when we're accomplishing these things, it's not necessarily going to be the easiest thing in the world for us to do. Because if you're in a place where you don't fit in, what happens when you're trying to accomplish something? It doesn't always work. People don't always follow. They don't always like it, right? So sometimes when you're out on your job and you start talking about spiritual things, what happens? Sometimes it happens where people kind of look at you half sideways like, okay. But as you continue to grow in Christ, as you continue to be salt and light and speak the word of God into the situations which you're in, people will start to take notice and say, hey, I'm beginning to understand what you're saying here. I'm beginning to hear it. Can you tell me more? They'll be able to talk to you so that they too may have the same purpose of obedience and fellowship with God. Then he says this. I like this. Because you might be there, and you might feel like you are it. You are lonely in this world. You are going against the grain with everybody around you. I don't know. I don't know how it applies to you. But he says this, that when you're in the middle of it, Peter gives us this prayer. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. You might be looking at me, you're crazy, that's just a greeting. I think Peter means it. When Peter is saying, I'm an apostle from God, I'm a messenger from Christ, I've spent time with him, he says, may grace, did I say that right? Grace and peace be with you. In the middle of the chaos, in the middle of not fitting in the middle of loneliness, in the middle of strife, in the middle of being the one and only light sometimes, sitting on a hill or whatever it is, grace and peace to you. And it's not a physical grace and peace, but an internal, an emotional, a mental grace and peace to you. That while everything else is going on, you can still have that relationship with God. You can still meet with him. You can still understand him. Understand that relationship. You can still have that fellowship. It's sweet. And then he starts this. He says, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's your purpose, Christian, to obey and have fellowship with God, and it's a wonderful thing. And then he begins in worship. What? He reminds us of our position, where we're at. He reminds us of the hurt and the pain that we feel. And he says, grace and peace to you. And then he says, praise God. Praise the Lord. Worship. You know what worship is, right? Worship is exalting God in any part of your life. In Sunday school this morning, throw another plug in. I'd love to have you come and sit and join us for our discussions. It's a little more of a discussion format than this, and it's a lot of fun. Ask those around you. Just come on. Starts at 9-ish, depending on. Don't laugh at me. Sometimes it starts at 9:15-ish, but 9-ish is the official start time. And, this morning we were looking at what it means in Romans 12, 1 and 2 to worship, being that sacrifice, reasonable sacrifice. Here, Peter says, praise the Lord while you're in the middle of your stuff. Paul says the same things in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Praise the Lord while you're in the middle of your stuff. Because that's where our focus is. It's that stuff that we're in that gives us the opportunity to do a lot of things. Peter will say, it's a point for you to have joy. It's a point for you to be a light. It's a point for you to trust Christ. It's a point for you to grow and be discipled. Praise the Lord in the middle of your stuff, for the stuff that goes on in your life. And when I say stuff, that stuff is in more of a negative sense, right? But you know, we can praise the Lord in the good stuff too. Peter gives us the first thing here. He says, look, here, this is you, this is your purpose, this is who you are, this is what you do. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. All right. Now, if I remember right, this is actually one long sentence. So Peter wouldn't do very well in English class. Okay, start speaking well. All right, he wouldn't do well in English class because this is a long run-on sentence here. But he doesn't. He builds on this sentence. You know, when he says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then maybe your Bible has an exclamation point. That exclamation point isn't in the Greek. It just goes on, according to, because of this. Because of what he's already accomplished for us, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Do you know what it means to be born again? I love this term. You know what it means to be born again? When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he says, in order to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. You know what this term, to be born again, means? It's not like Nicodemus thought, to have to be literally born again, because that's impossible. But what it means is that when we trust Christ, we become a new creation. Something completely different. The old man is dead and all things are new in Christ. According to God's great mercy, he caused us to be born again. He made us completely new. When you're in the middle of your stuff, think on this. That God has made you somebody totally different. He's working in you. He's conforming you to his own image. Isn't that amazing? He says, blessed be God, praise God, because through his mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wait. So, we've been made a new creature for having a new hope. Okay, what is this hope? What is hope in the scriptures? Hope is not the way we use hope today. Like, it might happen, might not. I hope. Okay. Hope is something that is yet unseen. It's gonna happen and it's concrete. Okay? It's what we long for. So as Christians, we long for the day, because we don't fit in here, we long for the day when we will be with God. We will no longer have to war against ourselves. We will no longer have to fight this battle here. We will be home, just like traveling all the way back from Texas. Okay? When you come home after you've been on a trip and you just kind of fall apart in the middle of your living room. It's like you got the bags on your arm and you just kind of drop everything. You do this, right? Everybody does this, right? I'm not the only ones that... Okay, we kind of So it was really funny. Because when we got back on Monday, right? We got back on Monday, and at 5 o'clock. And when I was looking at the weather said, at 5 o'clock, it's going to start raining and snow and get slick and all that. I'm like, oh, great. Nothing like a little pressure, right? So we're getting back, and we get home, and as I'm pulling in, the fog starts to thicken just a little bit, you know, when it thickens on your windshield. And I'm like, oh, we're home, and I beat the slick stuff, and oh, I'm so glad to be home. And then I have all this stuff sitting on top of my truck. Well, let's get started. Pulled out the ladder, pulled it off the truck, and you know where it went? We just kind of fell apart right in the middle of our living room. There it was. But that's what that's the feeling. You know, when you get home and you get it all, whew, oh, so glad to be home. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're longing for. That hope where we meet Jesus face to face. We get to see him. We have no more fights or battles or anything now with the flesh. We don't have to worry about being in the world where we don't fit. We'll be home. That's how we can have joy in the middle of our stuff. Because we have this hope through the resurrection. Because Jesus Christ was resurrected, we will be resurrected, and we have this hope. We know it's secure. We know it's there. It's going to happen. To an inheritance, it says, that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Wow, just seems to get better all the time, doesn't it? As we go through our stuff, as we look at hope and keep our eyes on Christ, one day we will get home. We'll have that falling apart feeling, but it's more than just that get home and fall apart feeling. Because then it's almost like you get to the new home, that new place that's already prepared for us. And it's, I don't even know how to describe it here. It's like really home. It's like living in hotels all your life and then finally getting to that one place that somebody else has prepared just for you. Isn't that kind of an awesome thought? That's right. So what happens here is, Peter will just say, hey, we need to be rejoicing about this stuff. This stuff that's ready for us, this inheritance that God has for us, it's imperishable. Like, well, Jesus, it may be a while before I get home. Have you ever left for several weeks and you've come back and maybe you forgot to take that one thing out of the fridge? Oh, we didn't have that. But you've done it before, right? Maybe you forget to do that one thing, and you're like, whoa. What'd you say? Oh, you threw the one thing away and forgot that it was in the trash can. That's worse. Yes. But that kind of stuff is not going to be waiting for us. It's imperishable. It doesn't corrode. It doesn't rot. He says, it's imperishable, it's undefiled and unfading. You know, the stuff that we accumulate here, it breaks down, it rots, it has to be kept up, it fades. Don't you love it? You get this brand new shirt or something and it just kind of fades after the first couple of times you wash it or whatever. It's amazing how that works. But when we're there, when we get home, the inheritance that's waiting for us, imperishable, does not fade, it's wonderful. Kept, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for his salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, this is, you know, this keeps looking more sure, doesn't it? Because this inheritance is being kept for us, and we're guarded and waiting for that salvation, which is to come. You know, when we're saved, when we come to this earth, when we believe Jesus Christ, then we're saved, right? We're saved from the penalty of sin. We're no longer condemned, okay? We're being saved. We're in the process of overcoming that sin. We're in sanctification. That's past, present. But there is going to be one day a future glorification where we are finally saved from this life. That's it. It's going to be glorious. We're guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. In this we rejoice, even though our stuff that we have here may grieve us some. Now, I don't know how. Maybe you're sitting there today, and I'm going to preach the rest of the passage next week, but I want to get this point right here. Maybe you're sitting here today, and you just had a rough week. You've had lots of stuff. Maybe you're grieving. There's something that's just off, or there's something that's wrong. Maybe you know what it is. Maybe you don't know what it is. Maybe you're going through a hard time. I don't know what it is. And maybe you're feeling like you're just in that area of despair. Ah, it's never going to go well again. My life is going to be like this forever now. You ever feel that way? Occasionally. It can't get any better. Or can't get any worse than this. It's never going to get better. Peter says, look, there's always going to be a reason to rejoice. Now, I hope that after we've read through some of these scripture passages about our purpose and what we're supposed to be doing, but that Peter says grace and peace to you, that he's praying for us, but that he praises God that because of what he has done and causing us to be born again, to having this living hope, this surety that things are going to be good. This thing that we have this inheritance waiting for us. He says, in this we rejoice. Now, I look around, and one of the things that, as somebody who does a lot of speaking, you want to kind of look at the faces of the people that you're speaking to. Number one, to make sure that you're not saying anything stupid, because if they look at you like, what? So don't do that to me, please. But also, you look at people's faces to make sure that you know you're communicating. And you know what I get when I start talking about these things that are waiting for this inheritance, this final day? You know what I look and see? I see people smiling about it. I see people hoping, thinking, yeah, that's going to be great. Yes, I can't wait. That is what we're looking for. Okay, even in the middle of our stuff, when it hurts, come to 1 Peter. Come to 1 Peter and read through these blessings that are just waiting for us. God has a purpose in your trials. God has a purpose in your tribulation. But no matter how bad it gets here, there will one day be this inheritance, this rejoicing, and in that's what we hope for. That's what we rejoice. That's what we expect. And we place and we keep our faith right there in the right place in Jesus as we live this life. We live by faith. It's an amazing thing. You know, so that's the challenge, right? How can I apply this passage? How do I make this real in the middle of my stuff? Start reading it. Start looking at it. Start being encouraged. Start realizing the truths that are waiting for us. I mean, Peter's going to get into some pretty serious stuff later, but right now, let's look at it. And he starts off this stuff. He begins this whole book with these blessings. He begins this whole book with this idea of hope and inheritance and reward, waiting for those who are living by faith. It's awesome. You pray with me? Lord, we know that you are working with us. We know that things get bad here, and I just pray that you'll help us keep our eyes focused on you. Help us to keep our gaze heavenward instead of here on our stuff. Lord, we're encouraged this morning because we know that you're in control. We know that you have our best interests. You have a plan. You have a purpose for us. And you give us this hope, this longing, this waiting for us to come home. And I just pray this morning that we would know you and that we would continue to have this longing for being with you. Help us when we're in the middle of it to continue this looking up. God, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, that doesn't have this hope, I pray that they would know you for who you are and what you've done, that you died for our sins and you rose again to give new life. Help us this morning and through this week to continue building that relationship that we have with you, because that's part of our purpose of fellowship. Obedience, loving one another. Help us to focus and refocus doing what we're supposed to be doing. God, we thank you for being such a great Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.